Words flow, a stream of melted snow by the warmth of...
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Bay Area jazz saxophonist Rafi Garabedian. We get into his new 2024 CD, The Crazy Dog. So he sums up the first single on this album in his own words, called A Mother's Letter. It was the first song I composed for this project, adapted from a poem my grandmother wrote. The melodic and harmonic structure emotes a somber mood, embodying her painful life growing up as an orphan, fleeing Turkey during the genocide and carrying this trauma into a foreign land where she struggled to raise her family. To me, the words reflect her love and distress for my father. For this Berkeley-reared musician, music is both a calling and a vehicle for exploring his family's star-crossed past. It's quite a story. Enjoy.
Good to meet you, man.
Yeah, nice to meet you, too. Thanks for having me on your
show. Thanks for taking a minute out, man. I'd like to begin our conversation before we get into The Crazy Dog with, you know, looking at the calendar, it's the four-year anniversary of this pandemic. As an artist, a musician, how did you survive that time period, and how has it changed you?
How did I survive it? Well, financially, I guess I kind of pivoted to a lot more teaching work. Pre-pandemic, I feel like I was gigging most nights of the week here in the Bay Area. And, you know, with everything closed down, I started doing a lot more teaching through the school districts, through music schools here. And, you know, obviously all that stuff was remote. Was virtual, but financially that's how I survived in that way. And then in other ways, how else did I survive? Exercise, practicing, exploring new music, exploring new sounds on my instrument. I think in some ways musicians have an upper hand than other people, in the sense that we're conditioned to kind of always have the unknown, like be insecure in certain ways, not really knowing what's going to happen this month or next month. And it's just like continue this practice of working on our craft. That was something I think that helped me get through that early part of the pandemic. What was your next question?
Well, I was just wondering, I think you hit it. And it was kind of a lead in to your new album. Was a lot of that kind of fueled by living through this pandemic?
I think my previous album, Melodies in Silence, was more relevant to that kind of isolation period, because that was the first project I have done remote. So I was working with musicians in other parts of the country. So for me, that was more of that kind of concept or mindset about that music. This most recent album, The Crazy Dog, I had wanted to write for voice. I had this instrumentation in mind, just sonically speaking, with vibes, flute, voice, electric bass, that kind of somewhat of a more like chamber like ensemble. And not ever having written lyrics before and not being the best with words, I was a bit, you know, I was listening to other projects and other artists who have vocal music, other singers, and hearing where they're deriving their lyrics from if they weren't writing them themselves. You know, there's a lot of people connect with writers, with poets. And my father was a writer, and he wrote tons. He wrote fiction, he wrote short stories. And the big thing, a big project he had been working on since I can remember was just documenting his parents' lives. There was just like, you know, he's just piles and piles of different drafts of his writing and different translations of his parents' letters. And he passed away at the beginning of the pandemic in March of 2020. So there was a lot of time to kind of reflect and go through all of that work. And it just kind of clicked one day, and I was like, oh, this makes total sense. to use this his writing as lyrics. Yeah.
So what are you hoping ultimately the listener gets from this album?
Well, something that I had, it wasn't intentional when I was composing this music, but it started to become something more in the foreground, was trying to have this music be a little bit more jazz adjacent, even though the instrumentation is very much like conventional jazz instruments, or music that shows up in that instruments that show up in, you know, Black American improvised music. I was thinking of it more of like a songwriter approach to the music, and I guess it can come off to the listener as what we call jazz, but it's very through much. It's very much through composed. So I try to have that twist on it. Having it just, you know, I mean, I think that's the whole catch 22 of using that word jazz, because historically any artist who gets categorized under that, you know, the whole point is to push boundaries and to break genres and labels. And for me, this is something that I've always considered, because I'm influenced by so many different styles of music, and I don't want it to be just kind of staying in one vein. You know, there's elements of improvisation, there's elements of through composition, there's words, you know, there's different grooves, there's different time signatures, there's different harmony. So that's something I think I want to reach out like maybe a wider audience. And then for me, I guess it was important because my father never lived to see any of his work published. My mom did end up self-publishing his memoir, because he had been working on a memoir of his family's life. So that was something that she did publish after his death. But again, I think that was like, I felt so determined to share his voice and his stories and his work. And this is a way that I think I can do that through my own medium, right? My own art.
Absolutely. Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about how this journey into the music began for you. Who were some early influences? How did all of this take off?
I think just being here in the Bay Area, I was raised in Berkeley, the community, when I was growing up, I had a lot of musicians and music and art around me in my community, and a lot of friends were playing music. My mentors were living here, and you know, they were very significant in my life when I was younger, and just following them around and sneaking into clubs and just experiencing that lifestyle of a musician at a very young age, I think really kind of got that fire going in me to pursue this, and felt very natural and comfortable, and also challenging. But that, and then, you know, the music program at Berklee High School has always been kind of revered as a historically, you know, strong incubator for musicians. So attending Berklee High was another step for me in that direction of becoming more serious about this art. But yeah, a lot of just the community and the clubs that were around when I was younger, and my teachers, my mentors, and developing relationships with all of them.
So what was the first live jazz show that you ever saw that really blew you away, made a really deep impression on you?
Oh, I don't know about the first.
Or one of the seminal early ones.
No, I'm trying to think about that. I mean, honestly, it's like this music, this art form is hard to digest. And I do remember, embarrassingly enough, like being a teenager and seeing shows and just kind of like not really not getting it and being like, oh, am I supposed to get like really, really trying to engage, even though I wasn't didn't know what was going on or anything. And so probably the more impactful experiences for me were the less formal shows, like going to like jam sessions at bars that were just run by local musicians that I knew, rather than going to a more official venue where there's an audience and the band and it's a performance. For me, that was always a little harder to, but yeah, I think that just didn't impact me as much when I was younger. I think more impactful experiences, yeah, were these, the ones that sit in my head were just going to the weekly jam sessions at spots around in San Francisco and Oakland and Berkeley. Yeah, that is really what stuck with me.
So you've been at this for a while now. What is it that you like the best about being a professional musician?
Being a professional musician. I guess in some ways I'm in control of what I produce. I mean, I am in control of that. I feel very proud. I'm very proud of representing an art form and or being not representing, but I guess being a part of a lineage, specifically here in the Bay Area, where there's been so much change and so much displacement with art and artists and that community. That's something I really, really cherish, that I have a hard time with. So I'm super, super proud about that. And yeah, just trying to carry on producing music, I think, is super important. I think, in today's world, it's a lot of people have difficulty using their ears, listening. Orally, we need, there's so much stimulation in the information age. We need visualization, content, all of this and that. And for me, just trying to produce quality music, music that I like, music that I, think is strong and that also is relevant to today's world, that is something I really am feeling importance towards.
So this art form that we call jazz, why do you love it?
It's because it's so special. It's, well, I think for me, it's learning. It's, it's a language and it feels limitless. And it's so unique and personal, yet so connective with everyone. Anyone can relate to this, anyone can connect to it. But yet, it's such a personal form of expression, and it's so otherworldly. It just takes me. I feel like I can, not as like a distraction or escapism, but I can express things musically that I can't do with words, and that is super important to me. And then, and then just the history of Black American music and understanding the lived experiences of the pioneers who started inventing improvisation and studying that and seeing how brilliant it is and ahead of its time it was and still is. If you listen to Charlie Parker play over Cherokee from 1942, which is almost 100 years old, it's the most modern saxophone playing that exists to this day in some ways. So it's timeless and it's so personal and brilliant and expressive and creative.
So as the creator of this music, everyone has a perception of you, family, friends, fans, but you run the show. What is your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
Wow, I try not to think about that. I guess, though, I do think about that because that's something, you know, more and more I'm feeling driven to keep producing my own music rather than, like, these days I'm really less interested. As much as I love the standard repertoire, and improvising over that and playing tunes, I love that so much, and I love studying it. I think composition is the ultimate end goal as an artist, right? That's our voice. And making it relevant again, right, to 2024, to my life. And so for me, it's getting to know myself better and where I fit in and how I've been influenced by different types of music, but then how I can make it come out in my own genuine voice. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally. Totally. So The Crazy Dog is the latest album. If anyone wants to pick it up proper or want to see you live, where's the best place for them to go to do that?
You can purchase the music on my Bandcamp page. I have CDs, or you can buy a digital download. And I typically am good about listing my shows on my website, RafiGarabedianMusic.com. Yeah, that's generally where you'll find all my music and my happenings.
Right on. Rafi, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for talking about the album and your life and music. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Oakland, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Rafi for his time, story, and energy. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube, and for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.